This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17. Right now, the number one PC game on Metacritic as far as rating. Not the number one sports game, the number one game, period. As of May 1st, a Metacritic rating of 93 on the PC. And that's because, well, let's face it, Out of the Park 17 is the best baseball strategy game ever made. It lets you run every aspect of your club from either the front office and or in the dugout. It's fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, which means you've got all the authentic 2016 opening day rosters, plus all the real minor league guys. Plus, you've got every season ever from 1871 through 2015 with the Major League and the minor league teams. It's amazing. You can build your own custom baseball worlds. You can play solo. You can play in online leagues. There's so much that you can do with Out of the Park Baseball 17. You can get it today for $39.99 on the Mac, on the PC, on Linux. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it directly from ootpdevelopments.com. And if you use the code PRESS17, P-R-E-S-S-1-7, you will get an additional 10% off. So that is Out of the Park Baseball 17.
So, Rich Grisham, we're coming out of E3 and EA Play, and this was for the first time ever EA holding their own independent event. And tell me if you agree or disagree with this statement. It was the most uneventful, dull E3 period for sports games in memory.
I completely disagree. In that I think, well, I'll tell you this. Based on what came out at E3 related to sports games, I am more excited than I typically am for the fall slate of games. Because not necessarily how it was presented, because I think all of the conferences, myself personally, I don't enjoy the way that they present the games like they do now. So that's just me. But man, I'm excited. I think it was there's a lot of great information that came out, and I think there's no better time than right now to be a fan of sports games on the consoles that we have right in front of us, because it feels to me like the development teams have really got their they know what they're doing now. They know the systems. They are familiar with the hardware. And the next year or two, I think the last couple of years have been great. I think the next couple of years are going to be significantly better. So, you know, the conference performances, but what the actual information about the actual games are going to be playing that came out of E3, I am pumped.
I think we're kind of on the same page there as far as, yeah, we got some good information on a few of the sports games that are coming up later this year. And we did get actually a couple of new announcements of games, smaller games, independent developers.
Yes, we did.
Which I think are pretty intriguing. But yeah, the actual conferences, this was as bad as I can ever remember. EA's press briefing was horrific. I mean, and as far as the sports game stuff goes, yeah, they touched on FIFA. They had the new story mode, which is big, but that was also leaked before the thing even began.
Yeah, but leaked the day of. See, you know what? Leaks, Brian, I think most people don't give a darn about leaks. I think people that are like us and people in the video game enthusiast world who go to NeoGAF and who go to Pasta Padre and who go to Hit the Pass and who go to Operation Sports, yeah, they know about the leaks. But the vast majority of people don't know about the leaks or don't care about the leaks. So, right. I don't think it's – I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially if it's the day of.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that doesn't change the perception of the feature or anything. But I think you also have to question the audience that is watching those typically aren't the sports gaming crowd. I mean, most – if you're talking about casual sports gamers, which makes up the majority of people, they're probably not really looking for information and that kind of stuff 3-4 months in advance. But yeah, the information that comes out as far as, yeah, this is a cool new story mode that looks kind of, it looks compelling to me, and could become popular, just like NBA 2K story mode has become popular. That's great. But then they also went to Madden, which wasn't really Madden stuff. It was esports. And boy, that kind of just stuck out in that whole, everything just ground to a halt.
That's the problem. You know, they are not press conferences. They are events. And that's kind of what I don't like. Like, I don't like it. I'm not a fan of what it is. And much more so. Another reason I'm so glad that I'm a fan of sports games and I play them all the time. And the older I get, the more I play them as opposed to less, and the less I play any other kind of games. Mm-hmm. But I just don't like the shows at all. Like, I don't think it's a particularly good way to do things like this anymore. The games that they show other than sports games are almost all bloody and violent, and I don't like that.
Well, that was bad timing this year, too.
Well, yeah, but even so, like, you know, we've been talking about this for years. Absolutely. Like, this is not a new theme of mine, and I'm not going to go into it for more than 10 seconds, but I just really, it's amazing how violent and dark and grisly and nasty so many of the games that are getting broadcasted around the world as the best of this industry. It's amazing how that is. Like, there's no happiness on display. There is no bright colors and pleasant stuff other than sports games. But anyway, I just don't like shows at all. So, like, there's almost nothing anybody can do that I would say, that's good. I'm ready for these shows to go away and just, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't like any of that stuff. That's me.
It seems to be trending that direction, or at least companies holding their own events and doing things their own way. You know, it's crazy. You're right. There are so many dark games and violent games, but those are also the ones that sell, except, of course. Now, the interesting thing about that is sports games, at least the big ones, often sell just as much or more than those, but those are all the games that get the publicity from the mainstream websites. They get the vast majority of YouTube trailer plays. I mean, I haven't looked, but if we compared the trailer views, like kind of like we did last year at one point, I'm sure they just get blown out of the water. The sports games just don't even register a blip on the radar compared to some of those others, which is fascinating for other reasons.
But I'm fine with that, aren't you? Like, you know, to me, I don't know that matters as long as it seems to me that within the sports game world, though, you know, Madden probably gets the most of those kind of views. And the sports game fans, they know exactly what they're looking for. They know where to find it. And I don't think – I certainly could – you know, it's – I don't know what to make of the fact that those other games get so many more views. I mean, like you said, the sales numbers are the same and the popularity and the revenue is significantly larger than most games, right? I mean, my gosh, Madden and FIFA as cash engines are rivaled by very few games or franchises. You know, if they're not top five, they're probably top 10. And that's saying a lot. So, you know, they're probably fine with it too. You know what I mean? They know their fans are looking at them and they want to get more fans to look at them, obviously. But they also know that, you know, that it's, after all, it's sports and it's a video game and it's about football or it's about, it's about soccer. It's by definition has a narrower appeal than something. Well, other than that,
I think there's also a skepticism that's built up over the years, as far as you can make all these flashy trailers you want, but until we actually play the game or we actually see gameplay, none of this really matters. We don't necessarily believe your claims because you don't always deliver on them.
My gosh. Well, that's the other part of E3 that I don't understand, right? Mm. There are so many great games that you can play right now. And I don't mean old games. I mean games that have come out in the last 60 to 90 days. There's so many great games available right now. I don't understand the constant future forward-looking
2018.
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, okay, great. That's great. Super. But there's 150 games that I could be playing right this minute that are spectacular. And by the way, that I could be playing for very little money, too, thanks to all the different subscription services and deals and stuff like that. So, and that's the other, so, you know, when I look at E3, now, when you're talking about a game that's coming out in three months, six mm-hmm. months, I'm all in on that. I get that because that's actually happening. you know, but there's a lot of E3 that is so far in the future. I don't know. It's just another sort of thing that is doesn't irk me. It's just I don't get that whole future when today is really cool.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because you had Microsoft announce a new console, right? That's not coming out until holidays 2017. But they also announced a new console for a few months from now.
You don't know that that is. Yeah. You don't know that the Nintendo NX is coming out in March when it's supposed to. It's probably going to be delayed. And Sony didn't even say whether their Neo exists. Or I guess they sort of did. But they did certainly before, didn't say what it is exactly or when it's coming out.
Yeah, they seem to want to announce it and then release it soon after. I think they learned a lesson from last time. When they announced something and didn't have anything to show or talk about.
Again, if you don't, and I think I agree that's a mistake, right? Like, I don't know that you always have to announce something that's coming a year and a half, 2 years from now. Especially because, Brian, you see how bent out of shape people get? Just when the rumors started happening about the next versions of consoles or iterations consoles coming out, it sparks these outrageous discussions that it's another thing that I get so surprised about. Like, you know, okay, so there might be a new version of existing hardware coming out in a year or two. Does that invalidate the last 3 years you've been playing your game? And does it mean that it automatically you can't have any more fun with it for at least the next year and a half?
It does. I mean, you're already seeing that with people who are like, well, I'm not going to buy the Xbox One S, which is the new slimmed down version.
I'm not either, but not off any political reason, just because I got a perfectly good Xbox One sitting here right now.
They're like, you know, a lot of people are saying, why would I buy that when I'm just going to have to buy the Scorpio a year later?
You know, it's funny. Because I hear people talking about, well, I've been waiting. I've been on the sidelines for the Xbox One and the PS4. I'm like, well, dude, you've been missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I understand if you can't afford it. I get that, because video games are expensive. But if you can afford it and you're still not getting one and you're like, oh, well, there might be another one coming out in a year or two. It's like, yeah, well, that's a year or two.
Right.
That's a long time away. There's a lot of video games you can play between now and then.
Yeah, I don't know.
$300 or $400 or less? Yeah. I think so. I mean, if you justify the dollars by the hours, you know, you're paying relative to what you pay for most entertainment in your life. Hmm. You're paying very little.
And I'm not sure everyone looks at it that way as far as, well, I'll just wait another year. Well, you're losing a year of your life. You're losing a year of experiences.
Exactly. Great games. Great games. I mean, when we wrapped, you know, the last year, our Game of the Year conversations. Like, I think I said something along the lines of, this was a great year. These are really good games. Are they perfect? Of course not. Some people have big problems with some of the games? Of course they do, and that's fine. But man, if you're not in, that's fine, but you're missing out on a lot and you're not benefiting anybody by making some sort of arms crossed statement. Well, I'm not going to do that because they released a console 3 years ago and they promised me 5 years, even though they didn't. Right. You know, like, I don't get that mentality. I get the whole, I can't afford it. I totally get that. You know what I mean? But there's just so much anger and hatred over announcements of machines that may or may not be out in a year or two. There's a long time to go between then. And these machines are available now. And between the deals you can get and EA Access or, you know, PlayStation Plus, I mean, you can be playing a lot of stuff really quickly for cheap.
Yeah. I'm not personally a fan of this whole idea of kind of intermediary consoles as far as... No, not really. I mean, I don't know what it is exactly because, look, I think I upgrade my phone every year or every other year, and that costs pretty much the same as a console when I think about it. And there's other electronics.
Phone constantly to live every aspect of your life.
Yeah, that's
it's
that's
not
true.
A video game machine.
It's a little it's a little more critical to my everyday life. So, but there's a lot of electronics you turn over on a more than a 5 to 6 year basis.
Computer you ever bought from the minute you bought it.
Yeah, I just built one last year and I'm already thinking, man, I should upgrade my video card. And those things are almost $300 if I were to do that. Yep. So it's an interesting dilemma. And I'm not sure exactly where that's going to lead, but I think it's an interesting thing that Microsoft announced theirs and Sony didn't, and they have different reasons each for making that decision. And I don't know what the reaction has been, because this new console is really, as far as it seems to be communicated, which has been some mixed messaging from Microsoft, surprise, surprise, right? It seems like it's only going to really benefit people who have a 4K TV, and that's still a pretty limited crowd.
Well, I like the messaging. At least the messaging is clear. It's like, hey, well, here's a couple different versions of this machine. I'm totally fine with that. There has been a slim version of every PlayStation ever, right? So, number one.
That's the Xbox One S, right?
Right. Great. So, yeah, I don't need Scorpio. One. Yeah. But, you know, if it's cheaper and it's better and other people get to play the Xbox One now that wouldn't have because of that, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or, right, I mean, I don't have a place to plug in a second, but if I ever, like, you know, put another TV and couch or something down in my basement, maybe I will put the original Xbox One down there and buy one. But, I mean, again, there's no compelling event for me to do it, but that's great. It's another option. That's fantastic. And then they're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, for you people who are the early adopter 4K TV having, you know, I want to have all my P's and all my teraflops, we got this really kick-ass thing coming out in a year and a half or two. And great. I mean, I may or may not get it. I don't have a 4K TV, and I don't plan on purchasing one for any reason in the near future, although doesn't mean I won't, you know what I mean? But, like, so, you know, I think it's very clear messaging, right? It's extremely clear, which is the opposite of what the original launch message or, you know, launch announcement message of the Xbox One is. I think it's great. I really do. And I feel like I'm the only person in the world who does.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm iffy on it. I'm curious to see how the general sentiment is towards it. I mean, we're still...
Oh, it's going to be horrible, because that's just what the general sentiment always feels like it is in this crazy industry with stuff like this. But
that's 15 months away, you know, like, I don't, or longer, 16, 17 months away.
Yeah, I mean, that's, we're talking, you're at least, what, 4 years plus into this generation at that point, right?
Yeah.
And you and I both have had Xbox One since day one. So in a year, Brian, is it conceivable that you and I both have 4K TVs? I think it absolutely is, right?
Yeah. I don't.
So then if we haven't bought a new machine in a while and we've got EA Access, which is great. And oh, by the way, if that's, you know, in October or November, right, you know, that'll be right in the heart of the sports game season. Like, I could totally see getting one, but I could also totally see not getting one too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
if it is an amazing machine. I mean, this is the first, we'll get to VR, I guess, but you know, this is the first time that anything has sort of been announced that I haven't just in my head immediately said, oh, I'm in day one. Like, I'm in day one of Nintendo NX, no doubt.
You are, really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just because Nintendo is the only, I think, video game publisher / hardware maker that cares about families and non-violent video games.
That's true, but we know nothing about the console or if it is a console.
No, but we know the history of Nintendo.
Sure.
Bad and good. And there's by far enough good. I mean, the games that were on the Wii U were spectacular.
The games, first party efforts from Nintendo.
Spectacular. So I'm fine with that. And if they do that whole thing over again, you know, my son and I get to play another generation of those games together, which I'm totally down for. But I'm not day one necessarily on the Scorpio, but I could totally see that happening if I get a 4K TV, especially.
Yeah, that's still a long ways off. I think it gives people a lot of time, though,
plenty of time to enjoy their current Xbox One. I do every day.
I was gonna say, sit around and think of reasons why this is, you know, this sucks.
It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. It's great. It's more choices for consumers. Period. That's all it is.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, what they're trying to do is not leave them behind. And, you know, not leave anybody on the Xbox 360 or Xbox One behind because all the games are going to play on both of them. Although it would seem like VR stuff is only going to be on the new system, or at least it seems that's the way they kind of explained it, is they need the extra horsepower for that. But hey, you know, you'll be able to play your game, your Madden on Xbox One against your friend who might have the new system.
Maybe.
Be able to play them online. It's no different, right? So,
well, two more things on this real quick. Number one, I've not heard one person say this. Now, thousands of people may have. I'm not saying they haven't. But the other thing is, thank goodness Microsoft, to me, it's great that they're announcing new hardware because that means they're still in this game, right? Microsoft has gotten their butts handed to them by Sony in this generation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And they've got a new CEO at Microsoft who could, in a moment, just say, you know what? This Xbox thing isn't working out, and we're going to call it a day.
Well, to me, what I'm seeing happen here is, and you can tell me if you disagree, I'm seeing what they're trying to do is essentially bring people into Windows 10.
Yes.
They're going to do that through, you know, they now allow you to buy these games on Xbox One and also play them on PC or vice versa.
It's really kind of a great idea, I think.
They're turning the Xbox into a PC essentially, and then one day in the future, you're going to buy a box that does both, or you're going to build a computer that you just use to play everybody else on, you know, online
and with all the same games. That sounds great. Like, I'm totally cool with them, like, hey, Windows 10 is our, you know, PC operating system, and if you buy a PC, we want you to run Windows 10. And by the way, if you want to play video games, buy this box and plug it into your TV, and it's a super easy, great way to play video games. Oh, and by the way, you know, just like Apple, like you play, I listen to, you know, music and movies on my phone and my iPad and my Mac. You can play any, you know, Xbox games anytime on your Xbox or your PC. Like, you know, I don't know that I'll ever use that. You know, I'm not like, oh, well, I'm in on Windows 10. I'm not saying that. However, it certainly is a nice thing. I don't have a Windows 10 machine. I tend to be a Mac guy, but I have both, you know, Windows and Macs laying around the house. You know, and I know I don't have a, you know, there's no way, unless it's streaming, which I don't think this is how the service is, there's no way either any of my laptops could, I'm sure, games.
You definitely need recent hardware for that.
But I think it's, you know, it's certainly a good play. Like, you want to build a platform. Anybody want, I mean, these guys, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Google, they want to build platforms, and Microsoft wants a platform that allows technology to advance and tastes to advance and delivery methods to advance while still maintaining the ownership of the content, which is where you drive the revenue. So I'm just glad that they're still doing this thing. I'm more of a Sony guy than a Microsoft guy, but I love both platforms, the Xbox and the PlayStation 4. I'm glad that they're making these announcements because that means they're still in it. So, you know, having Sony and Microsoft keep battling it out for the next few years is a really good thing, because you can make a lot of money in video games, but you can also lose a lot of money in video games, you know, and getting out of the industry is not unprecedented for companies. So I'm glad that they're not only just announcing a new, cheaper version. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, down the road, we got this really killer new one. And I certainly believe that it won't be long before that is the true new thing, and you won't have the, oh, you can play it on the original Xbox One and the Scorpio. I don't think it'll be long, because, you know, it wouldn't make sense to. On the other hand, the amount of time that it takes to make games that will take full advantage of whatever the Scorpio gives you, there's no way that there will be a tremendous volume of games, because it already takes so much time now. I mean, if you just add more to it, I mean, the amount of time and the amount of risk that will go into these games increases as well. So I don't think there's going to be, like, you know, 50 games, 100 games a year on the Scorpio. It'll probably be one or two a month at the most, and probably go a few months without it, because they're so big.
Sure.
It takes so long.
Yeah, and third-party games are really not going to be all that different, other than maybe graphics and slight frame rate improvements on the newer one. But they're not going to splinter off their user base in a way that makes the majority of their consumers feel like they're on the inferior system. It's just not going to happen.
And, like, you know, if you're running the Madden team or if you're running the FIFA team, you know, do you how much more revenue will you generate? How many more people can you afford to pay for to spend a significant amount of time, building stuff for the 4K super 6 teraflop machine when relatively few people compared to your overall sales will be buying it? And it doesn't necessarily mean any additional, it's not going to sell for more than $60, you don't think, or even if it does, it's not like if it's 70, you'll get that much more from that.
And they're not even worried about that. All they're going to care about is that everybody, as many people as possible, are all together to play Ultimate Team.
Well, there you go. And so you would think that at least for a couple of years afterwards, the non-Scorpio SKU would be the target one because of the amount of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back, Rich. How about something that wasn't at E3? And I'm curious to see what you think, if this matters at all. NBA 2K, which NBA 2K17 will release earlier than an NBA game other than one in the history of video games, earlier than any other NBA basketball game has ever released, mid-September. So that's 3+ weeks in advance of where it was releasing just 2 years ago. Now, NBA 2K has never shown up at E3 other than an occasional appearance at a Sony press conference where they demo some gimmicky thing.
Embarrassing. It was appearances.
Bad. Yeah, it was bad.
Embarrassing. Again, that's why these things are terrible. They're just bad. There's no need for them.
And it's not just NBA 2K. Madden's had their Kinect demos.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Some of the most cringeworthy moments in video game history have been sports game presentations at E3. They're awful. Yeah. Stop doing it. There's no need.
Yeah, it's really unnecessary. So, but I'm curious because we have considerable amounts of information on a game like FIFA, which releases after NBA 2K. We still have nothing other than who's on the cover, basically, and some pre-order junk about this game yet. And no, I'm not saying this out of concern for the game. I mean, I gave the game a 10 out of 10 last year.
Yeah.
I said it was amazing. I fully expect this game to be amazing. But is it still odd to you that they don't have any presence in this week where everybody else is kind of, it's not.
Nope, not at all. There's no need. They have absolutely no need. Anything that they would do would cost a significant amount of money. And there's so much noise at E3. Brian, you've been there many times. I've been there many times. It is a terrible place to be for everybody. Everyone there is very excited, and then everybody there very quickly gets very grumpy because it's packed and you have to wait on long lines and you can't hear anything.
It's
a lot more fun afterwards when you go out to the bars.
I don't even do that, so I miss out on the fun.
Well, I mean, just getting together with a bunch of people you rarely see, that's where the real fun is. That's the only reason that I would go to E3, and I didn't go to E3 this year. I could certainly, and I have, plenty of meetings and talk to plenty of people doing what I do at Out of the Park, and there was no reason for me to go because it would have just been, especially for us, a significant expenditure of money with nothing that I would get out of it that would justify the cost. Mm. NBA 2K obviously is in a wildly different position, but I'm sure they're looking at themselves like, well, what are we going to get out of it? There's so much there. Our game is the best game. It's the top-selling game. We're killing it. We are the conscious, we are at the top of the list of sports game fan consciousness every year now. So I just think they're like, well, there's no need, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't certainly set up a booth to have NBA 2K, So other than announcing, something on somebody's stage, which, I think it would be cool to see, an NBA 2K 1 minute or 2 minute, announcement, sizzle reel presentation on whatever the big new thing is. Sure, that would be cool. But, there's no need. And I think it's the right decision.
So what is the most exciting thing out of this E3, you think, that came sports game wise? I was just gonna say it could be news on the games we already knew about or some one of the new games that was announced.
Well, if I had to pick one, I'd say the story mode in FIFA, because I think it really is brilliant. Not the that the concept hasn't been started already in its current state. Last year by NBA 2K, it was. But it is a great chance for people who don't normally play FIFA to give FIFA a shot. And we've talked for years, Brian, about how FIFA and all sports games to many people are just far too intimidating to people who don't play them regularly. And I know it's true because people anecdotally tell me that all the time. So I just, for that, that's one reason that I think it's great, because the more people that FIFA can bring, I'm sure, I don't know anything, but I'm sure, you know, their numbers have plateaued, relatively speaking, right? So any new way to introduce people to your brand. So I think that's number one. And number two, I'm excited. I love international football, but I don't know still that much about it. I've only really been following it regularly for about 5 or 6 years. And I, as you know, have been playing a ton of Pro Evo, played more than 2 full seasons. And then I went and I am almost complete with my first full season in FIFA. So I've been back in the FIFA game recently, or the last, you know, month especially. So I'm also just excited because this is just another way for me to experience the game. Like, I get FIFA now, at least I get, that's not true, I get the way that I play FIFA now, which is running a club in a, you know, as a career, as a manager, and playing the games. Like, I understand it a lot better. There's still things I need to get better at, but I don't play really any of the other modes of the games because I don't need to. That mode is how I do it. But I just think I'm excited just to give it a go. I mean, the other thing that's interesting is with FIFA, they're not as, I don't think, as fiercely micromanaging of their brand as like the NFL is. So maybe the story might be able to go in interesting ways. I don't mean like
FIFA can't really FIFA can't really dictate anything right now. The organization. Well,
that's my point. So you know, I'm not saying I'm looking for anything dark or, you know, violent or.
Well, I don't think whatever, M-rated like the.
No, but I mean, it could have some interesting angles that like the NFL would never have. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it feels like they could probably go a little bit further and be a little more interesting. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't have to be as you know, sanitized as it would have to be for the NFL, for example. So I'm excited. I just think it's fun. I think it, and you know, but you know me, I liked Live the Life last year for what it was, because I went into it, you know, with a, you know, just like, you know, yes, it was completely ridiculous for 100 reasons, which we've already listed, you know, plenty of times, but I just thought it was fun. My goodness. You know, these are fun ideas, and unless they're executed terribly, I can't see how they won't be enjoyable to some degree, and they might even be better than that.
Yeah. And you made a number of good points there, as far as the story mode, and, you know, one of them was, yeah, there's a competitor. So this is a good way to differentiate between the products. Right. As far as I know, Pro Evolution is not going to have a story mode. That's like playing through a movie.
Sure, they won't. And I don't need them to, because that game is so good. Oh, so good.
Yeah, but they have their own concerns.
Oh, sure.
And the another is that, yeah, accessibility for people. You know, I've got a friend who plays some sports games, and then I'll talk about how good NBA 2K is, and he'll say, I just know it's too hard. There's no way I'd ever be able to pick it up. And I said, you have to play my career. You have to play the story mode where you're just going to control one guy. You don't have to worry about running an offense. You don't have to worry about switching players you're controlling. So I think that's an important thing, because we don't have these. What used to do that were the arcade games, right? You'd kind of get you play an arcade baseball game before you advance to a sim game, right? Because you kind of got the concepts down and you got the controls in general down, but you learned in a more fun environment. And these games we have now are so punishing. If you've never played NBA 2K and you jump into a normal 5-on-5 game,
well,
it's not fun.
You're right. However, we're forgetting something, and this is something I've been recently exposed to, which is the kids. That's not a problem. They learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like my son is not a big sports game fan at all. He's much more into Portal and Minecraft and stuff. But a couple of his buddies are, and they're 9 and 10. And, you know, they know sports in a very different way than we do. You know, they just sort of know some teams, know a few of the players, but you know, they can't ever stay up and watch the games. You know, it's interesting to hear this age group talk about sports. Mm-hmm. But man, you give them a controller, and if they like it, like, you know, a couple of my buddies' friends really love football, and so they play a little bit of Madden, and they don't know what they're doing, but they figure it out. Mm-hmm. So the youngsters, Brian, and neither of us are youngsters, they've figured it out. But you're completely right for, you know, adults and you know, which the majority of those people who...
The people who have money to spend.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's just a funny aside.
Yeah. So for me, what caught my attention the most was this new game called Steep, right? And I don't know if you watched the trailer for it or the gameplay walkthrough.
Yes.
But it looks phenomenal.
Yes. And yes. 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 Yes.
It's like, so we had SSX a few years ago, and it got decent reviews and everything, and it even introduced wingsuits to use at various times. But this seems like an SSX that, you know, like to another degree. Number one, because of the visuals were amazing, but snowboarding, skiing, wingsuits, and paragliding. And it's all within kind of this social package where you join in with other people, and you can record your highlight clips. You can take go back and go through your replays, and it's just like so interesting how they're doing this. So that to me is because it was unexpected. That was what really got me the most excited out of this last week, and that's a December release. Thank you for not being a September release. I was like, oh, yes, December. There's nothing in December. Give us something in December. So so I think that'll be interesting. And I'm excited about that one. You know, I'm excited about different types of games because we're not going to get a second football game. We're not going to get a second. Well, we might get a second basketball game. That's still being argued whether that's
going to happen. Nah, we're not.
We have two soccer games. Yes. We're not going to get a second hockey game. Nope. We're not going to get a second baseball game unless you count some of the super mega baseball type of thing. So when I look for something different, it's like, okay, there's the lacrosse game, which this year was pretty good, actually. There's Rocket League. Now we have Steep, and that's exciting to me. And there's also they announced Golf Club 2.
Yes, I wonder what you think of that. That was competing with the FIFA Story Mode for my most excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remind me what you thought of the first one.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Not loved. Love. I popped it in about a week ago and got crushed on 18 holes. Oh, man, yeah. That game.
I do remember. Loved
it so much.
I was okay until I got to the greens, I think. And then
putting so hard in that game. And not hard like... impossible. You gotta do it. You gotta practice. You gotta learn it. You gotta do it over and over and over again.
Very much a game that you just had to play to get better at.
Yeah. And it what was weird is that I did that. But you know, that's kind of how I am with all sports games now. I'm not good at sports games, Brian, but I'm so much better at them now than I used to, just because that's almost all that I play. And I don't mean I play them all the time. But every night, you know, before I go to bed, when I got a half hour, 45 minutes, like I'm playing a couple games of FIFA, or I'm playing a couple games of NBA 2K, or I'm playing in my Madden League game. Or, I mean, I still dabble in other kind of games, but I much more so than ever, which is saying something considering I've just almost always now just play sports games. And because of that, I'm getting better. And I did with the golf club for a few months, I would play regularly and I did get significantly better. That's the cool thing about that game is you don't need to go crazy spending time with it, but you need to play it, but you will get better as you play it. I mean, everybody that I know that played it, you know, TJ, Gus Ramsey, are all the same way, you know. Yeah. Tough to start, except Owen, who quit because he hated it.
Yeah, he did. What I like about that is that we're seeing another independent who at least had enough success to continue. They worked a lot on post-release
How
support.
How great is that? Yeah. That they're doing. I didn't think we were going to get another one. I just thought they'd sort of keep adding and supporting it. That's kind of like Microsoft with the new console. Like, this is great for people who like sports games. Okay, they're making more hardware, and hey, this thing worked enough to where they're making a significant sequel. They not only is exciting about the fact that there is a sequel, but what they're doing, this is pretty meaty stuff that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So let's hit on Madden, Rich. We got to do it.
Sure.
Franchise mode stuff. You had the interview with John White, who works on franchise mode. And I found myself a little underwhelmed in listening to it, just because there's a lot of hype around saying, hey, we're putting a renewed focus on franchise mode. And they lead with this play the moment thing, which is not really anything that's new. You could always super sim to a third down if you wanted. You could always super sim to a red zone situation if you wanted. This is just stopping it for you. But the stuff like the big decisions, which you make in the menus, and then that ties into the games, whether it be commentary mentions or on-screen graphics, that could make things a lot more interesting in your franchise. The real-time score ticker is awesome. I mean, we've been asking for that for years. Instead, we've got dumb things like XP tickers. So finally, they're going with what people want there. Full player editing, practice squads, things like that, all great. They've improved on the stuff like game plan, XP, confidence, drive goals, things that maybe not everyone agrees should be there to begin with, but at least they're putting work into them to improve them, and probably replacing any of those things would be kind of a monumental task at this stage.
Yeah, they'll be gone in a couple of years, but it'll take them a while to engineer it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's only so much they can do. And then Super Sim is hopefully finally fixed after years of being broken, because they're putting this emphasis on play the moment. Progression, regression improved. I mean, what was your overall sense of the franchise mode stuff?
Well, you know, the only way that I play Madden anymore is our Press Row League. Like, that's all that I play. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, that's all that I play. I play that because it's fun. But it's ruined me for anything else. Like, if I'm just playing, like, my own personal franchise, I just don't even feel like it's real, because I'm not in that same universe with you and TJ and Adam and, you know, Kat and everybody, all the great people who are in our Press Row League. Like, but that's so specific to the league. But, you know, it's the coolest community I've ever been in, because, you know, in its various incarnations, it's been going on for like three generations of machines now, which is great. So because of that, you're underwhelmed, and I get it, but you also listed, I don't know, five or six or seven things that are probably all going to make it better next year than it was this year.
Sure.
So I'm cool with it. I mean, there's no big thing, but, you know, I know, like, Kat, for example, thinks the owner mode is broken. I don't care, because I'm just trying to play you guys in our league, right? Like, so that's just because of the way that I play the game. I'm happy that they are making these improvements. I don't personally need tons of improvements to it, because for the most part, it gives me exactly what I'm looking for, which is the ability to play in a league. And when I say play in a league, I don't mean just 16 game season. We go four or five seasons deep. You've left this year. I'm assuming you're coming back next year, but I'm still in our league this year. I think we're in the third, maybe the fourth season. I think
fourth,
the third.
It's got to be.
Is it fourth?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was in there for three.
So. I'm still having fun every you know, I play two games a week. You know, I love that cadence. It's perfect. I can almost always figure out a way to find a time to play somebody when I'm playing a real person. So, you know, I'm cool with it.
The relief
but
is.
I get your sentiment. Yeah. I totally get it. But me personally, I'm fine with it.
The relief is that they didn't take anything out, right?
So that Yes.
We had that conversation where, hey, if they start over on franchise mode, you know, what are we going to think if they get rid of online franchise because they say they couldn't get it in time, or they couldn't do it the way they wanted to do it, kind of like what they did when they took online team play out and they said, you know, it wasn't used enough, and we might bring it back someday when we can do it the right way or whatever. And then you see in the NHL where they take out
Game Connected.
Yep, and that's not coming back anytime soon, presumably.
But so, I mean, you got to believe that they did that. They and you know I do. You got to believe that they took it out for the reasons they said, right? Because otherwise, it would be in. I mean, it's a shame, and that's why I'm glad that Madden's investing in online franchise, because they don't make any extra money from it. You know, it's harder and harder to make money in this business, and so, you know, I'm glad that they are continuing to improve a non-revenue generating mode. Now, obviously, it generates revenue because the fact that it exists sells the game, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, it's just everybody has a certain number of people that they can get to do a certain number of things on a game and, A, not break the game, and, B, get it out, you know, in a year. So, you know, I just like the continued improvements, which are needed improvements. I also should add that. Like, everything that he said, I'm like, good. I needed that. You know what? Excellent. That's good, right? About time. And so this is things that will help, you know, and I'm sure I didn't think they announced like any other major features other than the new commentary at E3. So I don't know. They'll probably save an Ultimate.
Yeah, that was even before E3. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they'll probably save an Ultimate team for the Mutt guys, you know, for later in the year when they're starting to really.
It's a July. Jones,
right.
July, August thing. Yeah. But you know, what surprised me was we didn't get the franchise stuff at the press briefing. What we got instead was esports, Rich.
Yeah.
And so I thought it felt out of place to me. It felt somewhat irrelevant to everything. Because, look, like, and we've discussed esports some before, esports for Madden is not popular right now.
Well, didn't they just have the championship at E3? Like, how was that?
They did, and it ended a couple days after the press briefing. They were in the semifinals or quarterfinals at the point that the press briefing happened.
Right.
And then they finished up a few days later. Now,
I mean, friends of the show, S. Gibbs and Z. Farrells, were like doing all the commentary. I didn't watch any, but.
So I've watched some of it, and they're excellent at that stuff, right?
Those are great guys.
So they're awesome. Top-notch, like, presentation of these games. But there are some problems with just the whole idea of esports for sports games in general.
Yes.
And now, so, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the one thing I want to say, and I don't want to cut you off, but doesn't the emphasis on esports make you confident that they're going to invest in balancing the game even further?
They have
Shouldn't it be a good thing that they're focusing on it? Shouldn't the result of that focus on esports be an even better game, because you almost have to make your game better in order for the esports to even exist? That's sort of my thinking.
So, right. So what? That's something I've noticed in watching these things, whether it's Madden or FIFA or NBA 2K. Exploits and things of that nature get exposed when there's money on the line. And so you're watching these games play out, and you see them used over and over. You see the tactics that are made, and I wonder if, like, NBA 2K developers who watch their team up event as an esport for the first time, watched it cringing, thinking, okay, look at all these things we need to fix for 2K17, because this does not look like basketball. That is one of the benefits, though, is that if there's going to be money on the line, they're going to have to fix exploits.
Right.
And one of the interesting things that really kind of made NBA 2K's event, it was not really a legitimate event. There were several reasons for that, but they did a significant patch that fixed a bunch of issues, but they did that right in the middle of the competition. So there were I think it was like 7 or 8 or something, 8 weekends of qualifications, right, where these teams qualified to get in, and they patched it like on the last weekend. And so there were the majority of the teams who made it into this final tournament had done so under a previous build of the game, using strategies and such that had been fixed.
Okay.
And then they ended up in the finals and either got exposed because of that or whatever. Maybe.
So, in other words, Scott O'Gallagher, another friend of the show, was watching it, said enough of that cheese, and made it better.
Good there was for stuff. Him, there, yeah. So, but the problem is that you can't really. That's like changing the rules in the middle of an event. You know, that some people qualified under one set of standards and others didn't.
If everybody is playing by one set of rules, and then after the patch, everybody is playing by a different set of rules. It's just a different set of rules. It doesn't invalidate what happened beforehand, right?
Well, except that the teams that made it in were using those tactics, right? The full court passes and stuff that were fixed. So those teams that got in there, there were better teams that maybe played
that didn't
the right
get in
way, that didn't make
of, okay.
it. Right.
All
so,
right. Well, yeah, okay.
So that's but one issue.
They
so, yes,
better
but,
in that version of the game, right?
Yeah.
So.
But the point being, yes, they identify issues through this, and that's true. So that's one of the benefits to this. But the problem is, no matter what they do, people are going to find things to take advantage of. So
true.
They're always they're you know, it's like whack-a-mole, right? They're always just they're going to be fixing one thing, and then another thing's going to arise. So
yeah, but I think this I think you're right, but I think this accelerates the elimination of that problem, or at least accelerates the reduction of that problem. And we're talking at the highest level, so to speak, right? These are the guys who have made it all the way to the top of the Madden Championships, and who knows how many people took place. I mean, a lot of people do. No matter what, these guys are good, right? So if that the fact that they will make the game better for those high-level competitions, for those of us who don't do any of that, the ending result should also probably be really good, like, or at least better. Like, even we won't find that little route or hook that we know works for us 8 times out of 10 and stuff like that. So for the non-top of the esports world players, the results of that focus should be even better gameplay too.
Yeah, so I agree to an extent with you there. So there was an article on SB Nation that just published, and it's titled "The 5 Problems with Trying to Make FIFA and Madden Esports." Okay, now I'm gonna go through these 5 and see what you think of them, and I'll tell you what I think of them. I really feel that there are 2 problems with making these sports games into esports and them becoming kind of widely accepted. And some of that is covered here, but not exactly. So I'm going to go through these, and then we'll talk more about it. The first is, it says it's the balance problem. Now, this is the one that I don't think really is a problem anymore. So the author says, both League of Legends and Dota 2 have fantasy settings. This means developers can change things quickly. Stats can be tweaked. If a certain champion is overpowered, abilities modified to pull them back in line. When adapting a game with real-world players, this becomes an impossible task. So why I don't think this is valid anymore is because...
Totally invalid.
They've created these new modes for esports.
Well, not only that, you're right, but not only that, you say that, but what is very easy to do is to normalize 2 teams against each other so that you have literally the same attributes, right? So... What you can do in League of Legends and Madden are virtually the same game. They just have different skins, right? You have teams and individuals on those teams who have certain abilities, and you have certain things that you want to do. And in Madden, it's score more points, and in League of Legends, it's destroy the base. So everything that he's saying can't be done can actually easily be done in Madden. Now, you can do draft champions, which... you still wind up with teams with different players with different number attributes, but there's a strategy to picking them just like there is in League of Legends.
And you get all the same number of better players, right?
Right. So that argument is completely invalid.
There's also what Madden just used, which was their new salary cap Ultimate Team thing, which is, once again, you're putting the team together, but you're limited in how many good players you can have, or you can spread it out or whatever. So there's strategy on 2 levels there, not just playing, but constructing your team.
Yep.
So that's why I don't think that's an issue. So next is artificial intelligence problem. Basically saying in League of Legends or Dota 2, players succeed or fail solely on their own merit. And his example here with like FIFA and Madden are that players are going to fail on their own as far as CPU players, whether that be, you know, a dropped ball or whether a receiver catches a ball or drops it, or whether your running back fumbles or not. There's an element of randomness there that isn't in other games. What do you think of that?
Okay, that's true, but I think misses the point entirely of it's also sports, right? That's esports, and the medium of esports that you're playing is football, and in football, sometimes a guy makes the catch and sometimes he doesn't. So while he's factually correct, I don't think it matters, because otherwise, what's the point of playing a game? You know, Yeah. That's what I think about that.
Well, I think you're also dealing with ratings for a purpose, right? If you have a receiver who is rated highly, they're going to succeed more often than not. You have to take that in consideration with who's on the field, who are your offensive linemen, are they going to get beat by the defensive end? You have to look at those ratings and adjust to it and say, maybe I need to give extra help to my offensive tackle, or maybe I need to, you have to strategize differently to get around those things or take advantage of them. And I think that's why that still works there.
And that's the whole point of games, right? To do exactly that. So that's why I'm like, that's why I say, yes, he's factually correct. But a game is, games like football, games like chess, games like League of Legends, games like, whatever you're playing, right? It's about, okay, what are the rules? What are the different values and abilities of different things? All right, let me put it together the way I want to do it, and then attack and execute. And sometimes you're going to do things the right way and you'll still lose. And sometimes you do things the wrong way and you get lucky. Like, that's the whole point of this kind of a competition anyway. That's the platform on which you're, playing.
Yeah. Next, the money problem. It's called the money problem. And that's basically that EA or 2K or whoever it might be can't put up the same kind of money that these other companies are doing, because not only is it that the prizes, so with Madden, they're giving out like $1 million in prizes over the whole year.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That sounds
that's
good.
A lot
that
of
sounds
money.
Good, but you've got like winners. The winner of the Madden thing recently got $20,000 compared to millions that go out.
Yes.
Tens of millions on some of these other games.
But it's a different business model, those other games. Those other games, those prizes are not funded by the companies. Those five prizes are funded by sponsors.
So this is
the player, the community themselves who watches these competition put their own money in.
So that's a point that's made here, actually, which is the being on consoles limits kind of the money that can be put towards these players, because sponsors for like keyboards and mice and things like that don't exist for consoles, because they're not, if they were playing on PC, that's a different story. But anyways, I think this one's kind of a weak argument, because look, I get kind of what they're saying, that if more money's on the line, people, this becomes their full-time job or whatever, right? Right now, I'm not sure if Madden can support people.
Why does it have to?
Well, it doesn't, but they're saying, like, as far as for it to catch on bigger and get more people involved, there has to be a bigger, potential prize at the end of the line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this is the first year that they did it, and they gave away $20,000 and $1 million over the course of a year. That's, probably the 50th. In the top 50 of esports competitions in the world, right? Just by barely even trying. So I don't think what Madden or FIFA need to do is necessarily all of a sudden become League of Legends or Dota. First of all, it's not going to happen, even if they wanted it to. But it's about creating a new, and I've used this word a lot tonight, it's about creating a new platform, right? It's not about just on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 in 2016. It's also making sure that whatever this thing becomes over the next 3 to 5 years, it's theirs, right? And they're the ones. And it doesn't need to be $50 million, but if it's $1 million or $3 million, and if it's a continued extension of EA's relationship with the NFL and stuff, like, to me, it's not the short term. It's the long term. And why also does it have to become as big as other esports? If it's profitable and it helps the game grow, if the profit is $1 million or the profit's $500 million, as long as it's profitable, over the long term, I think that's what this is really about. Although I don't know, that could be wrong. I mean, Peter Moore, who runs esports, might think it is going to be the next League of Legends for all I know. I don't know.
Tying in with that is called the shareholder problem, which has to do with EA, for example, being a publicly traded company, while others that own League of Legends and Dota 2, for example, they can put as much money as they want into these events, knowing they're going to eventually make money.
Riot and Valve,
But there's the issue of the bottom line with EA, publicly traded company, and whether investors support them putting that much money into it.
Well, if I were an investor, I would be asking why they're not bigger into esports. So, because if I, all you do is you read articles like articles that I wrote for the Sporting News and plenty of other articles, you know, when I look, work, when I sort of covered this nascent industry for a few months, right? You know, all you have to do is one quick Google search and you're like, oh, wait a second. Esports is a $1 billion industry? Oh my gosh, right? If I'm a shareholder of EA, I'm like, shouldn't you guys be getting some of that money? So I think it's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Shareholders should be demanding that they get into esports because that's a new world of revenue for them. You know, they
would think, but then again, if they looked at how much money has been spent on esports this year versus how much did it bring in for you, the answer would be they'd be in the red on that.
Sure.
So
this year,
whether yeah, this year, year.
Right. They had to know that going in. I'm sure, sure they didn't have wild projections. So I'm sure there's a 3-5 year sort of projections. Okay, we'll break even year X and we'll actually become profitable year Y. And oh, by the way, once we're profitable, then you know you are able to do what Ultimate Team has become, which is all of a sudden the margins go significantly up. And that's why I say, like, it's not, to me, it's not a short-term thing. It's a long-term. Like, esports is a big thing and it's here to stay, mm-hmm. right? Esports is not going anywhere. Madden and FIFA are by nature competition games, right? And EA is the biggest sports game publisher in the world. They should own their own esports network for their games, and it makes perfect sense. And I think it's the only business move to make.
So the last one here before I get to my actual reasons, which aren't, as I read through this, aren't covered as much as I thought they were. The last one is called the viewer problem, which is that there's just not enough people watching this.
Right.
The example of the Madden Championships, which just happened, there was the semifinal. It might have been the day after the E3 press briefing where they promoted the thing right in the middle of it. He took a screenshot, and on Twitch there were 980 people watching. Okay. And there were 600 on YouTube, and there might have been on a different platform. If you know, who knows how many other hundreds. But that's not significant compared to the other the big games in esports, which
are
hundreds of thousands to millions. And then so it's not even just that big event that didn't get people, but just in general, sports games on streaming don't have a big audience. He grabbed a capture here of just a random point where at one point in time 118,000 people were watching Counter-Strike, 116,000 were watching League of Legends, and 7,000 were watching FIFA 16. And FIFA 16 is, you know, one of the biggest selling games of last year. So it's just a question of, and I'll tell you why I think this is in a minute, but why don't people want to watch sports video games streamed?
You know, I don't know, because to me it's more interesting than watching League of Legends or Dota. But I mean, League of Legends and Dota have you know, this didn't happen overnight. It's been a multi-year process for them. And Madden and FIFA have never had an esports focus. There has been stuff in the past, but this is, you know, I don't even think they announced their esports initiative till after Madden and FIFA had shipped last year, right? That's so true. Very, very little, if any, of this exact game is even designed for esports.
2K
so,
did that also, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, trying to compare the barely first go-round of esports to the biggest, most established is completely unfair. Now, 5 years from now, if you're still getting those numbers, then okay, but I mean, you wouldn't go 5 years and still get those numbers and still be doing it in 5 years. But so it's conversely, the facts are right. And this is the point he's made I have no qualm with. Those are very surprisingly low numbers, even just by virtue of, you know, the reach of that network, mm-hmm. you know, through social media, you would think you would get a higher number of viewers. But, you know, it's E3. It's during the day, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, by nature, we know. I mean, sports video games are a narrow audience. You know, it's a passionate audience. It's a very well-educated audience. Well,
do you think that the potential interest in watching sports video games as an esport Is that ever going to get beyond just the sports video game fan? Because if it doesn't, it's never going to grow to the point they want it to get. They have to reach people who aren't necessarily playing sports video games.
Yeah, that's a great question. My gut says no, they're not. So, because if they kind of would, but again, they haven't done this before. So my gut says no. I don't have any facts to back that up.
Okay, so I agree, and here's why. Okay, I believe there are two reasons why they're going to really struggle to build these sports games into legitimate kind of big esport competitions or thought of in that way. And the first is the difference between a game like League of Legends and a game like Madden is League of Legends is a fantasy game. It's not replicating something you watch in real life. Madden or NBA 2K or FIFA, if you want to watch these sports played at the top level, you're going to watch the actual thing. You're going to watch the NFL. You're going to watch the NBA. You're going to watch EPL. That's where you're going to look to. You're not looking to a video game for that. But another big reason is often, as good as these games are, they don't look like they're the sports they're representing. If you watch the Madden competition, I watch some of these games, it doesn't look really like football. The players are running the same plays almost every time, running the same routes, throwing the same routes. They're in the same formation every time. They're running the same blitzes. They're using the same tactics. It's not really fun to watch. And I think that's the biggest problem, is it doesn't look like real football. It doesn't feel like real football. And so until the games get to a point where you're seeing like adjustments being made and it's legitimate football type adjustments where you're like, oh, that's a good coaching decision. But no, right now what you have are people who do not punt, who go for it on fourth down every time, even if they're backed up in their own red zone. So it's questionable to me to get to the point where you're in the spotlight, where these games are being broadcast to everyone, you have to do certain things, you have to use certain exploits, you have to play a certain way to be successful. But when you get to that point, the games aren't really, the style of play doesn't translate to something that's really enjoyable to watch. That's my feeling on it.
You nailed it. You 100% nailed it. The hope is that because now the development team is not prioritizing what they're making adjustments based upon what the community at large is telling them, because they're doing it based upon what the high-level esports players are doing and fixing that, the hope is that, as we said earlier, that makes the game a lot better. And or that makes the game, that makes what you're talking about be reduced or eliminated. If not, then it'll continue to be like that. So hopefully in a couple of years, those are the kinds of things that you don't see when you're watching the Madden Championship and you're seeing something that does more resemble a game. You're not going to solve the first point, which is people want to watch the real NFL. So that's if that is a fact, and I believe you're right, then that's something you're not going to overcome. Does that mean that esports with Madden or FIFA can't be successful? No, of course not. Success just depends upon who you're talking to and what success means. Does success mean break even? Does success mean, this is something that we just do to continue to extend our brand? Or does success mean make $250 million a year? Like, that's the other part, right? So unless we know what EA's version of success is, and we won't know, whether or not what they're doing is matching the strategy that they set out with esports.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see how that all develops.
We know this fall is going to be a big esports fall. Like, that's clear. They've said it. So that in itself will be interesting, and it'll be fascinating to see the numbers go up, go down, or stay the same, too? I bet you they go up. I think
there's room to grow there, but yeah. The question of whether they're going to be into the tens of thousands of viewers is
probably not. Probably not. It would take, it'd be a major shift to make that happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like you and I love the NFL and we love Madden. And, you know, I didn't watch it. And again, not out of any like folding my arms. It just, you know, with everything that goes on in my life, it wasn't going to happen. And, you know, there's like, probably just, it's, you know, until it becomes something that is just more of a thing that people know about and care about, you know, that'll probably continue to be that way.
We watched games streamed from our franchise mode because these games have a attachment. We have some sort of attachment to it. There's something on the line.
Yep.
We're seeing people we know who, and we're playing the game generally the right way. So the games are entertaining to watch.
Yeah, they do look like real football.
Yeah. So I think that's the big difference. But final thing, Rich, anything else out of E3 you want to mention or just general thoughts leading out of here?
Well, again, I'm really excited about the overall state. We didn't even talk about Pro Evolution.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything. They put a trailer.
No, they had the game there, and everyone I've talked to who played it says it is fantastic, including our own Kat Bailey.
Yeah, we'll talk to her probably next week on the podcast. So
I mean, again, this is another situation, perhaps even the most acutely important situation, where I'm just glad that they're doing another Pro Evo, right? I mean, yeah. You know, they free to play, right? Konami, we all know it. Well, I mean, we all probably don't. Konami is a video game publisher in transition from traditional video games, the way that we think about video games, to a very different model involving all sorts of, you know, like casino-based stuff and mobile-based stuff. And Pro Evo is one of their very few console games remaining. So it exists. That's good. That must mean it's profitable, right? It's got to be profitable. I can't imagine.
Well, they have their own Ultimate Team style mode too.
They just introduced it. That was brand new. Like they had never, you know, I think last year was the second year of that, right? So
yeah,
it's there again. That's similar to how Madden is like just getting going in the esports world, and that's dominated by like major players. Pro Evo is like 5 years behind, if not more, FIFA's Ultimate Team. So the fact that the game exists is great because the game is spectacular. I mean, I've said it every week, I think, on the show since I've been able to come back on recently. It's so good, and I have every reason to believe that it will be amazing again next year. And I have every reason to believe that I will love playing it, and every reason to believe that I will just wish desperately you had the same FIFA licenses, because then it would be almost the perfect game. If, you know, I know it's a hyperbole to say it, but man, if you took Pro Evo's game and FIFA's licenses, you'd have just the best. And I love both games. I love FIFA. I'm playing it almost every day now. I love Pro Evo. Like, it's not like I'm anti one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, you take the best from both, and you'd be on another level.
Yeah, and for me, coming out of E3/EA Play, I'd say I'm intrigued more by what the independents are doing than the AAA developers at this point. Steep looks great to me. Golf Club 2, and there's a whole bunch of other kind of smaller games that are on the horizon. But we are going to, I believe, get together in a bigger panel show next week. Cool. We're actually going to break down kind of the information that we had on each one of the main games. We're going to talk to Kat about Hands-On, I would hope.
Yes.
And just get impressions from more people as we talk about one of the biggest weeks in video game every year. So, Rich, thank you for coming on and talk to me about
my pleasure
everything that's gone down, because there's a ton of stuff as always. So thank you everyone for listening. Press Roll Podcast presented by Hit the Pass. Until next time, take care.